Proverbs for the day, June the 17th. Puts us in Proverbs 17, and today we'll look at verse 8. June the 17th, Proverbs 17 and verse 8. A gift is as a precious stone in the eyes of him that hath it. Whithersoever it turneth, it prospereth. A gift is as a precious stone in the eyes of him that hath it. Whithersoever it turneth, it prospereth. Now there are several ways, several angles from which to approach this proverb and some of the others. We're going to take one angle of it today in the time that we have. We're going to take this thing where he says a gift is as a precious stone in the eyes of him that hath it. We understand that gift could be something that someone gives to somebody. There's some places where it could be a bribe. I've been in Eastern European countries where they ask for a souvenir, officials did, in association, say, with a passport or with a visa. What they meant was a bribe, a gift. They wanted a gift. Excuse me. But we'll take one angle today. We'll look at a gift as being an ability, a potential from God, because your Bible does use it in that way in your King James Bible. In case maybe you don't remember that's so, let me look up here a few verses given to you that I've noted. 1 Peter chapter 4. Verse 10, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. The picture is that if you have a gift, it's from God, and use it as a sign of the grace of God. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift, every perfect gift is from above. And what God does is He gives us gifts. In fact, there's places where he talks about having given us a gift in the person of men. But every one is given unto us grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. And he goes on to say also, he gave gifts unto men. Verse 8. And so in Ephesians chapter 4, in Ephesians chapter 3, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. He even tells Timothy that he has a responsibility to do something with a gift. 2 Timothy chapter 1, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. So there's ample evidence, there's ample example in the Bible for us to look at gift as an ability, even a potential ability from God. And we'll take this few minutes to look at that. Number one, seeing your gift from God. Seeing your gift from God. Now, yesterday's thought that we had over there in Genesis 16 and verse 9 about a man's heart divides his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. Yesterday's thought connects here. Because we often devise without seeing our gift from God. You know, sometimes, many times, God will not use your natural ability in its natural state. And blessed is the man, the woman, the boy or girl who sees the verse we spoke of yesterday, Proverbs 16:9, and this verse together. And you need to listen to people only to people who are trustworthy. Sometimes the ability to do earthly things, sell, or convince people, or deal with people, is just a symptom. You know, there's so many examples. I think of one that's a pretty clear example historically way back in the past that you can look up. And many of you have heard of a man named C.T. Studd, Charles T. Studd. C.T. Studd was a fellow who grew up and was an excellent cricket player, similar to baseball, but different enough that it's its own unique sport. But he had excellent coordination. He had excellent ability to make choices as a batsman. C.T. Studd came to Christ. God called him to be a preacher and a missionary, and he left all that behind and ended up serving in China and India and Africa in his lifetime. If he lived today, they would have bombarded him with desires, we'll say, or offers to stay with what he was doing, be a cricketer, and glorify God that way, you know, the fellowship of Christian athletes and all that. But you see, his gift from God wasn't hitting a cricket ball. He ended up being able to learn at least three languages. They feel like he learned probably up to five, considering different dialects. And so that brain power he had to get up there and make all those snap decisions and process all information, it was just a symptom. You know, you need to really understand that you've got to be able to see your gift from God. Beware of shorting God on things. What you can do with God's touch upon you and God's power in your life is totally different than what you can just do on your own, naturally. You need to see your gift from God. You see, it says, a gift is as a precious stone in the eyes of him that hath it. Whithersoever it turneth, it prospereth. It's how you look at it, how you view it. You've got to keep the right view of your gift from God. Your gift from God might not be something that very many appreciate, especially out in the world. Your family members may not appreciate it like they ought to. I don't know how much more to say it, except if you're a son, a daughter, a wife, a friend, a brother, sister, someone who has a gift from God, let's say like Timothy did, to preach and teach. It's essential that you have a respect for that and keep that in view so that the person who has it can value it. Number two, seeking your gift from God. Not trying to get one from God, okay? But a gift is all from the start. For example, he tells him, stir it up, just for example. We'll talk about that before we're done. But in the early stages of seeking your gift, you shape it, you skill it, you sharpen it, you secure it. You know, sometimes we have a disposition against the gift. Sometimes we get an attitude that gift isn't much of a gift, and that's not really the one I wanted, and I don't have a lot of respect for it, etc., etc., and we waste some of God's time. There have been some real well-used men of God that had to go through that. My advice to all of us is don't. Some of us have faced it. Some of us have struggled with it. Occasionally, it's something you're going to. A call to do anything is a call to prepare. Hard work, maybe even the hardest. The preparation. A call to preach is a call to prepare. A call to teach is a call to prepare. A call to be a Christian wife and a wife of a man who's going to be a man of God, a preacher and teacher of the book, is a call to prepare for that. A call to be a Christian layman, a call to be a deacon, a call to be a musician. All those things are a call to prepare. What I don't see happening is young people being encouraged to prepare. They're just told to perform. You have to connect. You have to connect how to do it. How to is a big thing. The gift, seeking your gift, shaping it, skilling it, sharpening it, securing it. Well, think about that. You've got to seek your gift. Do you know that young people could be actively kept busy if God's people were helping them seek their gift? You see, the problem is the church at large is lazy today and leadership is lazy. Oh, they stay busy. Busy, 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 busy. But they don't have a vision of helping train these people. They want to tell them. They don't want to train them. Training is a whole different thing. Now, it's a whole subject on its own. We won't be able to squeeze that in here because number three, we're talking about stirring up your gift. Seeing your gift from God, seeking your gift, and then stirring up your gift. Staying after it. Now, they say, use it or lose it. And I'm going to say to you this, a different phrase, close, use it or lose out. You see, God may give you that gift and it may be there your entire life. So you may use it and not lose it, but use it or lose out. Because if you don't use it, God is going to count that against you. Oh, yeah, I know. That's not something you wanted to hear perhaps today. But that's the truth of the matter. That's not something very many of these people wanted to say. Do you know a lot of guys today, a lot of these pastors, they're not real, real big on these boys being called to preach and called to prepare because they're not preparing them. And because they're not preparing them, they're not all that big on it. Now, these colleges are because that's supposed to be some big deal. So they try to get them all doing it. When he told Timothy, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. That thing is something that Timothy had to do something about. He had to stir it up. And listen, if you're a young wife, an older wife, whatever, of a man who has a gift from God, whether it be preaching, teaching, whatever it be, soul winning, giving, serving the body of Christ, whatever it is, don't diminish your man's gift, whatever. Period. I don't know why, but in this case, I did think of Phil Schuler. Phil Schuler's dad was old man Bob Schuler, the old Methodist out west. Not the fruity nutty one. And old man Bob Schuler was he was a tiger. He wasn't a big fella, he just had a tiger in his tank. And when Phil was a little boy, him and his brother, one time his dad had to put him on top of the house with firearms to try to fight off the mob. The mob was after him. They had put a hit out on him for his preaching. They blew up the side of the church building, his office. They had his schedule timed, and they set a bomb to go off. He just that day completely broke routine, didn't know anything about it, went and grabbed a cup of coffee, and they blew the side of his office out where he would have been. Can you imagine what it had been like if his wife had not said, "Look, follow your gift. I don't like your gift. It makes enemies. It stirs up all kind of stuff." When God called Phil Schuler to preach, he had an absolute horrible impediment, speech impediment, communication impediment. And he recounts how the only time in his life that he didn't really see a large measure of faith in his dad was when he told his dad. But his mother said to him, "Follow it." And he made his plans, and he got up to speak, and everyone assumed he wouldn't be able to do it, and God opened his mouth. It's been open ever since for several decades. You say, why? Well, he had to see his gift from God. He had to seek his gift, and then he had to stir it up and keep it going. Parents, help your children to seek their gift. Listen, don't you devise their way, Proverbs 16:9. Let God devise it. God bless you.